The grace of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the love of Jesus Christ be with us all. Amen. Dear sisters and brothers, as Viola has already told, recently I was in Strasbourg to participate in the General Assembly of the Ecumenical Forum of European Christian Women. For more than 20 years, I have been connected with this network of women of the three big denominational families, the Protestant, the Roman Catholic, and the Orthodox. At that GA in Strasbourg, women from 24 European countries came together. In real, at last. Some had met through the internet several times, but now we could meet again. We come from very different backgrounds and traditions. From the east, from Armenia and Georgia, the Ukraine. From the south, from Greece and Cyprus and Malta. From the middle, Romania, Slovakia, the Czech Republic, from Serbia, Britain, France, Germany, Sweden, to name some of them. Of course, this mixture of different backgrounds and traditions and also cultures means also great challenges. For example, we had big and difficult discussions on the issue of homosexuality. But we are and feel united in our fight for better conditions for women in Europe. We met in a time where there are so many crises which lead us to feel so insecure and often helpless. Therefore, I was very much inspired by the motto of this assembly. The motto was, in short, hope and responsibility. That's why I chose to, as the biblical verse, these words from first letter of Peter that also led us during the assembly. I will read them out in full length. It's the first letter of Peter, 3rd chapter, verse 15. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. And I felt, I hope that this assembly would strengthen my hope that has withered away during these crises. I would like to share with you two experiences. One is the key speech of this assembly given by a Protestant pastor, Jane Strands. She now lives in Paris. Originally, her father was German, a survivor of the Nazi time, because he could make it to England in the late 30s, in 1938, as a child still. And when she talked to us about hope and responsibility, she would say there are three steps to deal with this. The first is to lament, to cry, to mourn about all that is a threat to life and hope, all the violence, for example, also against women. Jane Strands told us a statistic: every third day a French woman is killed by her partner. And I'm sure if we have the figures from Germany, they're probably quite similar. And there are these other crises about creation, suffering, climate change, the war, not only in the Ukraine, but that is very near to us, and also that the political system is getting less and less trust also in Europe. The second step, she says, is that we accept fragmentation, that not everything in this world is perfect. She referred to Bonhoeffer, who said that even the fragments of our life should show how the whole was meant. But even the fragments have a certain kind of beauty. And she gave us the task for our lives. In short, let's be survivors, not bullies. So that means that we live with our scars, with our vulnerability, but that we will not reproduce violence. When she spoke about this, I remembered a text by Tina Wilms. She lives in Hameln, not far from Hanover. She used to be a minister, but heavy, hard experiences in her life led her to be a poet or poetress. And she wrote a text about the ruined windows of the Erfurt Predigerkirche. They were bombed during the Second World War, and later the church decided not to just to replace the old windows, but to put the little pieces, the ruins, the Trümmer, together in a new form and to give it their own beauty. And she says, the pieces will stay pieces. They are not the whole, but they can develop their own beauty. And she said, Jane Strand said, we can choose either despair or that we sow grains of hope. Put the pieces together. And this leads me to my second bigger topic in the biblical perspective. Hope in biblical perspective. You heard the story of Cain killing Abel, of their parents Adam and Eve. You heard that before Cain would kill Abel, being very, very angry because his sacrifice was not regarded by God, but that of Abel. That God spoke to him and said, sin is looking after you, is trying to get hold of you, but you shall master it. But Cain did not master sin. But then God spoke in the name of Abel, where is your brother Abel? The blood of Abel cries to me. And then that Cain is protected, even as a murderer, that he should not be killed himself, but that he gets this mark on the forehead so that he is protected, and that he has to leave his place and to wander, and that he then went to the land of Nod. Normally, when we preach about this, the story ends here. But in the Bible, the story does not end here. There is some narrative about the story of Cain, which we left out now. And then these two grains of hope. Adam again knew his wife, loved her, and they got another son, Seth, which in Hebrew means also seed. So the Bible is telling the story from the perspective of the weaker, even of the one who seems to have no more future, of those whose life have been eradicated. Also of the second, Abel, in Hebrew means nothing or breath, whereas Cain is the winner, is the one who gets it all. And this, to me, is also the solution to the question, why did God look at Abel's sacrifice and not at that from Cain? Because Cain was at the top anyway. But God looked at them, the one who would not be looked at. And Cain could not bear this. God raises his voice. God raises the voice of humanity with a question. Cain, where is your brother Abel? And that the story of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, does not end with the narrative of Cain, but that there is new future. A new son is born, Seth, the seed. The verses that you have printed in your sheet is then the story of Seth told in a genealogy. You can read this at home, and I wonder who of you has ever read about Seth before. And to me, this story about Seth and his son Enosh, which does not mean nothing else than human, and that from that time people started to invoke the name of the Lord, is the first story of resurrection. In Jesus' genealogy, according to Luke, he is also linked to Seth. So, at the time of Seth and his son, people would start to get a link, a communication with God, with Adonai, to seek the communication with God, who is the power that keeps weaving the story of the killed and the wounded. And this strand culminates in Jesus' resurrection from the dead. That Jesus was raised from the dead is our greatest foundation of hope. And there is the link to this special Sunday today. In the Lutheran churches in Germany, and I think worldwide, we say today is the Israel Sunday. The strand of resurrection does not start only with Jesus, but starts already at the beginning of the Hebrew Bible, which we also call the Old Testament. That God can create new life where we can only see death. This is a belief we share with the Jews. So, the Israel Sunday today means that we mourn violence and to look out for all we have in common with the Jewish people, God's first chosen people. And this to me is another sign of hope in times of anti-Semitism and hate speech. So let's sow grains of hope as we stand on the foundation of God giving new life even in the valley of death. Amen. Our next hymn is also a grain of hope. Almond trees renewed in bloom, the English translation of the German Freunde, dass der Mandelzweig. These words were found or created by Shalom ben Chorin in the horrible time of 1942. And I think we can sing this as a sign of hope. Amen.